Here, let's stand in honor of God's word. We're going to start reading in verse 22, Riley. Kind of change it up a little bit. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. It's talking about Paul and Silas. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, or that means securely. In other words, they told the jailer, you better not let them escape. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was an earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word, for the beautiful songs that's been sung, God. Thank you for all you've done today, Lord. Thank you for the service this morning, for souls being saved, God. Thank you for the reading of your word tonight, Lord. I pray, God, your hand to be upon us right now. And God, you just encourage us tonight through your word. We love you. We thank you for all you do, God. And Lord, we're going to go ahead and give you credit for what you're doing in this service right now. Speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. They are in the inner prison. There is no light, no windows, no source of light. Their feet, their hands are bound down with chains. The time is about midnight. It's pitch black, dark, no visibility whatsoever. Their bodies are in pain from being beat with many stripes. They're singing and praising. They must not have been Free Will Baptists. They are singing and praising, and all the stuff that's going on, all the bad that's going on, they're still singing and praising. And I got to think about it, and I thought about this many times over the years. You know, over the years, people preached this, and somebody said, well, maybe they were singing Amazing Grace. Well, Amazing Grace hadn't been written then. Maybe they were singing Jesus Loves Me. Well, Jesus Loves Me hadn't been written then. And then I thought about it after Preacher Billy Fields wrote that song. They could have been singing the 23rd Psalm. I got to think about that. He leads me beside still waters, and he gives the greenest pastures for my bed. And he restores my soul in a world that gets so cold. And sometimes he pours oil on my head. The Lord is my shepherd. I am so glad I am his lamb. And he takes care of me in a world with so much grief. And one day in his house I will ever live with him. Can you imagine Paul and Silas sitting there singing? I mean, chained down. They can't even see each other, Brother Robert, but they can hear each other. Maybe Paul tells Silas, Silas, you sing one verse, and I'll sing one verse. And the Bible says that the Bible says that the prisoners heard them. All this is taking place before the commotion really starts. See, if you want the commotion to really start in church, you're going to have to do a little singing and praising, amen. You're going to have to come to church with your mind made up. I'm going to praise him. They beat Paul and Silas. They threw Paul and Silas in the innermost part of the jailhouse. Paul and Silas had a made up mind. I'm going to worship. I'm going to pray. Hey, they were praising God that they were found worthy that they could be beaten for Jesus. See, that's the problem. Sometimes we come to church, and if Jenny sings real good, we'll smile and we'll clap our hands and we'll worship. Or if Robert sings my favorite song, or if Gavin and Olivia get up and they sing the song that I really like, or if Mike sings God's been good, then I might raise my hand. You ought to raise your hand, praise God, when we take it off with Amazing Grace to start with, amen. We ought to come in with a made-up mind. Paul and Silas had a made-up mind. The prisoners heard them. And what was the reaction from the prisoners? We really don't know, but I kind of, in my mind, I kind of think maybe some of them got to shouting with them. They might not have been the only Christians in the jailhouse. And maybe somebody, we know that the jailer got saved. Maybe some of the other prisoners was getting saved. That's shouting ground right there for some of y'all that don't realize it, amen. When people start getting saved, the Bible says that the angels in heaven start rejoicing. We ought to rejoice a little bit with them, amen. Amen. But don't you notice something? Verse 26. And suddenly, that's the title of the message. And suddenly, the definition of suddenly is surprisingly, in a moment, in a startling way, instant, swiftly, unexpectedly, God showed up. Right in the middle of their praise, God showed up. They didn't start singing and praising for God to show up. They were going to sing and praise whether he showed up or not. My God, somebody ought to get a hold of what I just said right there. That ain't even in my notes. We've talked about this in Sunday school this morning a little bit. We're talking about tithing and giving. And Brother Jackie gave an instance where somebody needed something, and he said he gave a little bit of money, and the next day a check showed up at his house. No, he didn't get the money for the check to show up, but because he gave the money, the check showed up. I'm just going to tell you, if you'll get your mind made up tonight, we don't come in and shout and sing so that God will just show up. Hey, but I'll tell you, but God shows up when we do that. And suddenly, he showed up in response to their prayer. He showed up in response to their praise. He showed up in response to their worship. The Bible says in Psalms 22, verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. That word inhabitest right there means that God sets down. When you start praising him, God can set down right where you're at. He showed up in the form of an earthquake. He shook everything. Sometimes we all need a little shaking, amen. Now I got just a few little points, and we'll be coming to a close. I probably took longer in the introduction than I am with my points. Say amen, Chucky. But don't you just think about just a few things? The foundations of the prison were shaken. When you get praising God in the hard times, that's when God does impossible things for you. I got to thinking about this. You know, the walls of Jericho, they were facing an impossibility. The Bible talks about how thick the walls was, how high the walls was. They were coming in. This was their first battle. These were not soldiers. These were ex-slaves that had raised children in the wilderness. They had never fought a battle before. They had never gone to war before. But now they're facing this. And the Bible talks about it in Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up in the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. I'm telling you right now, when we start praising and we start shouting and we start worshiping God, God can do the impossible in our lives. The Bible talks about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 13, the children of Israel were in a battle, and then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God spoke Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. Paul and Silas, it don't get much worse than what Paul and Silas was in. Let's just be honest, most of us ain't never been in nothing like that. Amen. Amen. Most of us ain't got a clue what Paul and Silas was going through, because you've never had it that hard. You've never been beaten for Jesus. Yes, we got some of our Christian friends over in foreign countries that know what Paul and Silas had gone through. I think about Preacher Pavel Klippa, about how his dad was beaten to death by the Roman the Russian soldiers for giving out Bibles. It don't get much worse than what Paul and Silas was in, but Paul and Silas still had the right attitude. Let's just praise him. Let's just praise him. Let's just praise him. Well, the doctor said you got cancer. Well, I'm just going to praise him anyhow. The lawyer said it ain't going to work. I'm just going to praise him anyhow. The world says it ain't going to work. I'm just going to praise him anyhow. Hey, and when it's an impossibility, then God, when you do all you can, God will show up. I saw a little something the other day that talked about how that you don't, you know, how was it? It had a picture of a man, Brother Robert. He was leaning up on a shovel. He said, I know we need to trust God. He said, but don't ask God for a hole and you lean on the shovel. Amen. Yeah. If you got a shovel, go to digging. God will help you dig the hole, amen. Hey, we got to understand something, folks. And suddenly, all the doors were opened. Suddenly, there was a shaking. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith, he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man opens. Doors can be closed. Why? I thought about it as I was studying. Why are doors closed to us? It's to prevent us from leaving or to keep us locked in. Satan sometimes closes doors. Satan, and understand something, God can open what you cannot open. God can do what you cannot do. Paul and Silas was locked down, hands and feet, in the very bottom part of it. There was no way they could get out. No way. But God. And suddenly, but God. I got to think about it. There was a story told one time of Harry Houdini. They said he would always travel around the country, you know, and he was a great escape artist. He would travel around the country, and everywhere he went, he would tell them, lock me in this jail cell, I'll get out. Lock me in this jail cell, I'll get out. Lock me. And everywhere he went, they would lock him in the jail cell, leave him alone, and in just a few minutes, he'd be out. He'd pick the lock. Well, he went to this one town, and they put him in there, and they shut the door. He worked for almost 2 hours trying to get that door open. And he couldn't pick the lock, Brother Tony. Finally, he just backed up. He was gift-slapped out, backed up, and leaned on the door, and the door was open. It had never got locked. Do y'all realize what Jesus did on Calvary? My God, we all stand behind doors that's already unlocked. Jesus unlocked them on Calvary. All you got to do is just praise him and open the door, amen? That's what I'm trying to get to us tonight. This is where most of us live, behind these doors. Most of us are just like that 2,000-pound horse. You ever notice them Western movies? Always blows my mind. Then when old John Wayne come up to a thing, he'll take that bridle, wrap it around there one time, and that horse won't move. I'm about like Yosemite Sam now. Horses is so stupid. A 2,000-pound horse could pull that thing up, brother, if he wanted to. He just don't realize he can. And how many of us are like that? You got all the power in the world at our disposal, and we stay behind locked doors. My last point is this. Suddenly, don't shout me when I get to my last point. Suddenly, now notice now, look back at this verse. Look back at verse 26. There's two words I want you to notice. And suddenly, okay, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately. Y'all get that? Suddenly, and immediately the chains of bondage were gone. Suddenly, and let her shout, praise God. Now ain't nobody else shout, so let her shout. Suddenly and immediately, I got to thinking about it. As I was studying, the demonic man had to be turned loose. Those were unseen chains, amen? Those were things that everybody knew that he was in the graveyard. Everybody knew what was going on in his life. But somebody tonight's got some unseen chains that you need to be turned loose of. Lazarus, when Lazarus was called out of the grave, Lazarus was saved. But the Bible says he needed to be turned loose. Somebody needed to be turned loose tonight. Hey, Paul and Silas needed to be turned loose, and they were turned loose that night. Amen. We can be turned loose tonight. Suddenly and immediately. Suddenly, this is something that happened on its own. Right out of nowhere, God showed up. Yes. Now, I want you to notice something. Then immediately was the result of suddenly. It was a continuation. In other words, verse 26 is a continuation of what happened in verse 25. Verse 26 is a direct result of what happened in verse 25. You got to understand something. When you don't come into God's house and just call Jenny singing a good song you like, raise your hand one time. Go ahead and shout it out. Hey, act like Revy when the preacher's preaching, glory to God. Just go ahead and shout it out when the preacher's preaching. Shout it out in Sunday school. Hey, some of y'all, if y'all tear loose and shouting in Sunday school, you scare Mike to death. But that's all right. He'll get over it. It's a continuation. Amen. How many of God been good to you this week? My God, you should have come in here tonight and this morning and just shouted it out. Well, it ought to be a continuation. God's been good to me this week. When I get to church on Sunday, I'm going to have myself a spell. If nobody else has a spell, I'm going to have a spell. We might scare David to death in Sunday school, but that's all right. He'll get used to it. Immediately is a direct result of suddenly. It's a continuation. There's an old Scottish preacher, John McNeil, told a story one time. And I remember reading about the story about how this farmer had caught an eagle. And this farmer caught this eagle when he was a baby and had him on a rope, Brother Tony, kept him in the backyard. Well, over the years, this eagle started acting like a chicken. True story. This eagle would walk around and scratch around with the chickens, and he act like a chicken, and all of a sudden somebody came to his house one day and said, "That's a crying shame. You got a bird of prey, a majestic eagle over there. It's acting like chickens." The guy never thought. He went over there and cut the rope. Well, when he cut the rope, the buzzard still acted like a chicken. Just walking around, scratching, acting like a chicken. Until they took him up to a high mountain and put him on a perch. And when that eagle looked out and saw everything that he'd been missing, he spread his wings and took off. Some of us needs a suddenly and an immediately tonight. Let me ask you a question. The question is, can you praise him before the suddenly starts? Can you give him praise? See, that's the thing. It's real easy to come in after the fact and praise him. It's real easy to come in when the doctor says everything's all right. It's real easy to come in when the doctors come in and they give you the right medicine and everything's good and you get to come home. It's real easy then. It'd have been real easy if God would have did like Peter and just sent that angel down there and just made everybody go to sleep and then just led Paul and Silas right out. Be careful, Chuck. I'm getting another message here. But that ain't how it happened. Paul and Silas is still in the dark, chained down, feet and hands chained down, probably very moist down there, very stuffy down there, water dripping on their head. The Lord is my shepherd. I am so glad I am his lamb. He takes care of me in a world with so much grief. One day in his house, I will ever live with him. Then suddenly, what do you need tonight? What do you need tonight? Brother Robert, y'all come get us a song.